and we're happy you've joined us as we continue with Lesson 2 of Dr. Matthew's series, Toward Understanding Ourselves. And in today's lesson, Dr. Matthews will be speaking on the subject of God's unavoidable plan. Now, with our lesson, here is Dr. Matthews.
Well, we realize that we live in a world where we have available to us many, many laws of science. And the more you get into it, the more you realize that God not only created the universe, but he created the universe for our habitation. He states very clearly in the book of Isaiah, to that extent, that he didn't make it chaotic, that he made it to be inhabited. And so we have the whole world of science to tap into. We often mention the fact that we live with this world of science. What I want to talk about tonight, probably a couple other times in the future, is the fact that we live in a spiritual world. And the spiritual world is where God is, and good and bad angels, and people that have believed in him and passed away. But it's very important for us to understand that we can live in this world with God's blessing and God's and the advancement that he has for us. This evening, I want to talk about just one aspect of this spiritual world, and it's terribly important. I talked with you about that last time I was here. This switch here in this thing, really hard to turn. There we go. You remember last Monday I talked about the four things that we need in order to get to heaven. We need perfect righteousness. We need a complete forgiveness of our sins. We need the deliverance from the devil. And I'll work on that in the next few weeks. And then we need the ability to recognize our need. And then the ability to do something about it. And it's so clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul says that the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. And all of us here tonight, we would not have recognized our fallenness, our sinfulness, except that the Lord came into our lives and helped us to be aware of our fallen state and help us to be aware when we read the Bible or heard sermons or we were taught to realize how deeply God had loved us and made a provision for us. And I well remember all of the little beginnings that had with me when I was a young man. And finally came to the time when I surrendered myself to him and started this long journey where I'm almost at the end of it now. It's remarkable as you think back on the way that God works in our lives. Now, the reason I bring this up, even though we've gone through it, is to help you to know and to emphasize that when the Lord Jesus came into the world, he came into the world to be our Redeemer in these four areas. And you remember how we went through all of these verses, that he kept the law for us. What a remarkable thing that is. He kept the law for us. And then, of course, as we go on here, the sufficiency of our Redeemer's work, he died in our place. And he died in our place in his crucifixion. And he defeated the devil for us. So we have verses here now, and you know the story of the Lord Jesus defeating the enemy and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then he opened our eyes, and he gave us faith. We would not be believers tonight, except it would be due to his grace, his mercy, his goodness. And he has broken our hearts to some degree, and now we have the freedom to live for him and to honor him in our daily life. Well, I want you to know that work of the Lord Jesus is a finished work. That's what we call it. And that's because he said on the cross, it's finished. And this means that the provision that God has made for us in those four areas, all of that is taken care of. We don't have to worry about the feelings we have about being unrighteous or sinful or under the oppression of the enemy or whatever. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to add to the work of the Lord Jesus. That's not a good attitude to have. In fact, the Bible condemns it in the book of Galatians. It reminds us that when the Lord Jesus kept the law for us from the times of John the Baptist baptizing him, that's when he assumed that responsibility to keep the law perfectly for all of us. And when we believed upon him, think about it. All of the value of his righteous life was written into our spiritual bank account. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You mean that so we have perfect righteousness in the sight of our Heavenly Father. Now, that's what the word justify means in the Bible. Like in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is the declaration of God in heaven that the person that is being designated is a righteous person because of the work of the Lord Jesus. So I just wanted to assure you of that. So you don't have to think there's something deficient. And then, of course, in the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus died in such a way that he suffered the wrath of God that we would have suffered if we had gone to hell. Now, how remarkable that in those 6 hours, because of the Blessed Holy Spirit working in his life and supporting him spiritually, physically, and all the other ways, he was able to suffer your judgment and mine in those 6 hours and paid the price that needed to be paid so that we could be totally forgiven. This means now, of course, that we can now live an entirely different life. And we can walk close to God because of that. And then thirdly, because he confronted the enemy in his crucifixion and resurrection, we can be free from the enemy. And I'll work up almost an hour one of these days on that, and it'll be a good time for us. And then, of course, what happened? He sent the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes and enable us to understand that we were lost people. And maybe when, as you have won somebody to the Lord, as to how they broke down and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, well, what was happening is that God, the Holy Spirit, was leading them into the realization that they were no longer in Adam and all of that fallenness, but now they are legally in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus and all of the value that went along with that. So I wanted to put that on the screen, just how important it is that he has made a provision for us like that. Well, the next thing I would like to do here now is to start on the work that I would like to talk about with you tonight, and that is when we think of the spiritual world, there is this one very important, unavoidable plan. And that plan is, as I have it here, one all-inclusive plan for life. And it has to do with you and me. Our Father in heaven has made an unchangeable and powerful decree that he will exalt his Son, the Lord Jesus. All creation, every angel, every person, and all events, both in time and eternity, are included in that plan. all-inclusive, and we're a part of it. When God created us, he created us to live in that plan. And it's a very wonderful thing to understand that and to realize that we can be a part of the kingdom of God. We can be a part of the plan that God has for us. Now, I just want to say that we need to take this very seriously. I call it here now our Father's unavoidable plan. And what we need to do is to understand this plan and then adjust our lives to it. You remember a couple weeks ago I talked to you about the time when doctors, a couple illustrations, Dr. Lister and Dr. Pasteur, found the reason why so many women were dying. Women would come to the hospital, and many of them, they had a very high death rate among these young mothers. They would come to the maternity ward, and for many of them, they would sicken and die. And they were wondering, why? What is going on? And then both of the men at the same time realized that what the doctors who were treating these women were doing is that they were working as a part of their training with cadavers. And then, just washing their hands, they'd go and examine the women, which meant, of course, that they carried germs. And the germs caused infection, and away they went, women dying on them. And so what they did was to experiment. And they ended up with washing their hands and then rinsing their hands in a light solution of carbolic acid. And then they realized that the death rate went down dramatically because of that. And they started to think that there's invisible little entities called germs. Now, they got in a lot of trouble by doing that. And a lot of doctors say, I'm not going to accept that. If I accept that, that's going to rearrange my thinking. It's going to rearrange my work. And I'm going to have a, you know, I don't want to accept the germ theory. Well, what would we say about a doctor who would say that? I'm not going to accept the germ theory. Same thing we'd probably say about you if you were sitting there saying, well, Victor's nice now, and he's talking about this plan. I don't think I'll accept it tonight. I want you to accept it. It's important that you do that. And I'll just work on it a little bit as we get on through here. One of the most important sections has to do with Psalm 2. And notice what it says. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, that's the Lord Jesus, saying, let us break their chains. They say, throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven, our Heavenly Father, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger, terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. How important it is now that this is what the plan of God is all about, that the Lord Jesus has been given this exalted place by his Heavenly Father. And that all of creation, every angel, every human, all events, all point in one direction. And that is that the Lord Jesus is worthy of all of the glory and the honor and the praise and the majesty that we could ever give to him. And it's important to understand that. This is not something we can get involved in a hit and miss way. Whatever our priorities may be, you know, we got to arrange our priorities. So our Father's unavoidable plan would be very close to the top. Not number one, that's God himself, but but somewhere up there within the two or three. And so I'm going to be working on that now tonight. And so that's where we are. Well, let's see here now. Let me see what we can do here. We have a New Testament explanation of Psalm 2. Let me put that on the screen here for a moment and talk about it. And that is, the Lord Jesus explained Psalm 2, and he said, now, Jesus said to them, that is the Pharisees, have you never read in the Scripture? Now, that's very significant in itself. What did the Lord Jesus mean by that? He meant by that that he accepted the authority of the Scripture. And so what he is saying here is that these people should submit to what the Bible teaches. Have you never read in the Scripture? Well, that's a very telling thing. And it's important that we realize that. So he says, have you never read in the Scripture? The stone, that's the Lord Jesus. The stone, the builders, those were the Pharisees. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Now, that shows how important God's plan really is. The Lord Jesus, when he came into the world, his thinking and his work all revolved around his Father's plan. And that's why he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no end to how he recognized himself as worthy of all the praise and honor and glory. Now we might say, well, that's a very selfish thing. Well, he is worthy. What would you do if you were given a very, very expensive car? What would you do? Would you take it to some barn that's filled with ammonia because of the cows there and just drive it in there and leave it there to rust? And all that ammonia, of course it would, very quickly. No, you wouldn't. You probably put an addition on your house and put it in there and air condition it. You probably would do something very serious because you had this terribly important antique car. Well, that's what we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to what the Lord Jesus is saying here. Now, I want to go on to the next one here, if I may, and that is the all-inclusive nature of our Father's plan. The first one that I have here is Paul says in Colossians, the all-inclusive nature. Notice that, for by him, the Lord Jesus, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. And now notice the last two words, for him. It was all created for him, for the Lord Jesus. It was all made for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. And he is the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He triumphed over death. So that in everything, here it is again, he might have the supremacy. So Paul is talking about this very, very clearly. And what we need to do now tonight is to ask whether we reflect this kind of biblical teaching. Do we reflect the Father's plan? The way that we are, our thoughts, our attitude, and how we live, and the songs we sing, and the words we use, and how we spend our money, how we make our money, and our relationship with the family. Does all of that reflect the person and the work of the Lord Jesus? Well, it can. There's no way out, no way around. It can. reflect our Father's world. Now here's the last one on this overhead. The Lord Jesus, just before he went to the cross, made the provision for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And notice what he said, that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll bring glory to me. There you got it, right there. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to the Lord Jesus by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Well, we're in that process right now. What is the goal of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine? It's to exalt the Lord Jesus, to help us to make decisions in times of stress, in times of trial, in times of temptation, to help us to make the right decisions so that the decision and the consequences would magnify the Lord Jesus. For people like on the job, where they know you're going through a hard time, and then they see how you've gotten through it, and things have worked out well, they can ask the question, well, what's the source of your strength? What's the source of your wisdom? Well, you can easily tell them. My one great purpose in life is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. How important that is. Like the old hymn that we probably sang many, many times I forget the first line here. Arthur, help me with this. Gilds the sky.
When morning gilds the sky.
Yeah, when morning gilds the sky,
my heart
awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. And it's that recurring theme down through the entire song. They're right on target, aren't they? That's exactly where we need to be, to change our priorities and so that we can live in harmony with what it means to walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, I've got a couple more here for this evening, and to show the great plan of God that he has for us. Here we go. And God brings his firstborn, that's the Lord Jesus, brings his firstborn into the world. He says, and let all of the angels of God worship him. Now think about that. Think about the seriousness of that. We know angels to be very, very powerful, very wise. And when we think of good and bad angels, we realize that they're with us right here. We have the spiritual world is where? It's here, invisible, just like laws of science are invisible. And a lot of things are invisible that are very powerful. And we talked about germs a little while ago on the negative side. And now when we're talking about the angels, how powerful, wise they are, God used the angels in the Old Testament to bring a lot of the revelation to Moses, Abraham, and to guide the church. We have not so many manifestations in the New Testament, except that one in Hebrews. When you have a stranger come to church, why don't you take him home? Because some people have entertained angels unaware. You know, sometimes when we've done that, I've wondered, now how can I talk to this person to find out if they're an angel? You know, usually I don't get that far. But that doesn't mean I can't talk about it. Think about it anyway. That's the way it is. So angels, in the greatness of their power, what is it that God says? Let the angels worship the Lord Jesus. Think about that. Think about how valuable the Lord Jesus is. Well, another one, here in Isaiah 43, a most unusual verse. And that is that I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, you see that? For my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Well, what he's showing here is an underlying purpose in all of this, that he receives great benefit out of the transformation that goes on in our life. I don't know how it was in your life when the Lord started to work with you and deal with you, but with me, I slowly realized that I had to make some decisions. I was just a young man on the farm, and I knew what Dad wanted. He wanted to teach me how to be a carpenter and a cabinet maker. He was very, very skilled. I was the only boy in the family, and he wanted to give me the farm as soon as I got old enough and responsible enough. He just wanted to check out and give the farm to me. I remember the day came when I realized that this is the day that I'm going to have to tell my father that to give the farm to somebody else, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be a carpenter and a cabinet maker. I've got to go off to school. And so that was a very difficult decision for me. But the Lord Jesus was worthy. And the consequences of what happened there made a profound difference in my life and the lives of many, many more. Now, say that I hadn't made that decision. Say that I had made the choice to say no to God. Well, I didn't particularly want to do what he had in mind. I was afraid of school. I'd never learned how to study in high school. I've had very bad grades because I didn't care anything about it. The only thing I wanted was to get out of high school and be done with school. But then in the middle of that junior year, God called me to go on to school. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to be a preacher. I knew that he had that in mind. I didn't want to be a preacher. I never got along well with people. I was a loner, and here on the farm, I liked to hunt and fish and trap, and all of that business, you know, that you would do if you were on the farm with a nice little creek. I guess that's how you say it, creek. Or creek running through the farm. So I had a good time. I had to give all that up because there was a higher calling. And think of the people that I've been able to touch down through the years. God's been able to touch through me. Think of all the classes. Think of all the chapel services. Think of all the Sunday morning and evening. All of that. What would have happened to those people if I made the wrong decision? Well, I'm sure that the Lord would have raised up somebody else, somebody like you, to take over and to substitute for me. I'm sure the Lord would have met those people, but I would have missed the blessing. And you always think that you can do it better than somebody else. You know how that goes. So I just want you to think about yourself now. If you're going to say no to God tonight, think of all the people that you're depriving. But with a little work of learning how to fit into God's unavoidable plan, with a few suggestions, you can make yourself much more serviceable to the blessed Holy Spirit. You can learn how to speak an encouraging word to people who are discouraged. That you can point out some things to them. Some person might be without assurance of salvation. So talk to them about those four things that I've had here on the screen and some of the verses that that I have here that would be a great encouragement. Well, let me go back for another one. We realize now that we all face something that is a mystery to us. The mystery. And that is We all face a judgment in the future. As believers, it's not a judgment about whether we're going to get in heaven or not. It's a judgment and evaluation. That would be a better word than judgment. It's an evaluation of how we have lived our lives down here. Whether we have said yes to God, whether we have allowed the Holy Spirit to modify things in our lives, allowed the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to read the Bible, to teach us how to work with people, just in the ordinary rubbing shoulders that we have with people, in the grocery store, in the service station, our own family, of just being able to say a word for the Lord Jesus. How important that really is. And so I just want you to know that the time is going to come when we're going to be evaluated. Now, that's not yet. It's in the future. But nor is now. God exalted him, that's the Lord Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that's the lordship that we're talking about tonight. That he is Lord in the life of those that are true believers. And I just want you to understand that. For him to be Lord means that we accept his authority in our life. And what he says about temptation, we need to follow through on. Talking to somebody today that has gotten themselves in deep, deep trouble because years ago they got involved in something that has really hurt them and hurt their family. And he was telling me that he wanted me to pray for him and to help him because he's in bondage. He's in bondage to this thing. So how easy it is for a person in the drug culture we're living in to get hooked on drugs, or alcohol, or pornography, or greed, pride, all of that business, or where we start to think that our life is made up of the possessions we have. So if we have a late model, expensive car, well, then we think there's some benefit to us. We're a better person because we have this. Yeah, that's not true. We need to recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ to make sure that we are doing his will. Another one here. The personal application of our Father's plan. What is that in your life and mine? Well, I have it here. But first, seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So this is the attitude. This is close to number one in our list of priorities, where we would seek God and seek his kingdom in such a way so that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. Is your life reflecting that? Is your life reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus? Does he shine through your eyes, smile through your lips? Does he speak through your voice? Are people now who are in your home or are associated with you, whether it's in sporting game of some kind or maybe a contact of the family, do they recognize the grace of God in your life? Well, that's what we need to pray for. Not that we would be built up, but that we might reflect the person of the Lord Jesus. I remember years and years ago when I first came to Grand Rapids, I got a job at what was then called Corduroy Rubber Company. And it only took a couple of weeks to realize as I worked among those men and a few women, their character became very apparent by the songs that they would sing, the words that they would use, how they would do their work. It was very apparent, the distinction between the Christian and the non-Christian. And it was very evident. And sometimes we would have a nice break at noon, and what the fellows did was an evident, was very evidence of whether they were a believer or not a believer. So how is it in your life now? Do people see the Lord Jesus in your life? Are they recognize that? If they need help, could they go to you? If they have a question about the incarnation, the birth of the Lord Jesus, or the crucifixion, would they feel comfortable about going to you? And would you have a word in season for people like that? Well, this is very important that we understand this. Well, one last thing I want to put here on the overhead is this statement now, and that is that our Father's plan calls for some radical decisions. We just can't allow ourselves to go on without making these decisions. I don't know what kind of a decision you need to make, but I'm sure that all of us have a whole series of radical decisions. It was like my decision to tell my dad that he had to give the farm to somebody else. I was going off to school. My dad didn't like that. He couldn't read and write. A very intelligent man, but he'd been forced out of the family to work on the neighboring farms and then to send home the money back in the serious depression days in South Dakota. So he never had an opportunity to go to school. And he never paid much attention to that until he was middle age. And then many, many times he would say something like, "I wish I had an education." You realize that I thought he was talking about college. I had no idea my dad couldn't read and write. But after a while, the puzzle, pieces of the puzzle sort of fell together. I realized that my dad, poor kid, couldn't read and write. He couldn't write a check. He could struggle with it, but that's about all he could do. So, what kind of radical decision now do you have in mind? I hope that while I've been talking a little bit now this evening, that I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about the things in your life that you need to change. And we're all in the process of changing things. Changing things to come into harmony with the Lord Jesus. And to come into harmony with what our Father's plan has for us. Now, how do we start that? Where do we start? Well, personally, I think it's very important to start as an individual, and that is to spend time, a couple times a week at least, if not more, in worshiping and adoring the Lord Jesus, talking to Him by way of worship and adoration. How important that really is to do this Father's plan ourselves in our own private devotions concerning the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, to unite with people in our churches. I hope you're a member of a church that really worships God. How important that really is. So these two areas very, very valuable for us to get into the plans that God has for us. So there may be some radical decision. Notice what I'm saying here, that what the scripture is. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that is, because you're a Christian, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Think about that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I don't know where you are. I know some of you fairly well, but I don't know how things are on the inside in relationship to this. I'm not going to do a lot of prying. You don't have to worry about that. But I think it's very important that we face ourselves, that we ask ourselves if there's only one plan of our Heavenly Father. And if I'm going to stand in judgment on the basis of that plan, and if it is so important that the Lord Jesus would be able to use me and the Holy Spirit use me, if I surrender to him and ask him to teach me how to live in harmony with our Father's plan, well, that's where we begin. We begin by making some radical decisions. And it might not be easy. You may be in a situation at work where people are picking on you, where they are not just at all in their relationship with you. And it just may mean that you just have to take it and smile and be loving and kind to people. Or you may be in a home where things are not good. I just can't tell you about that. Better not go down that road anymore. We all find ourselves in times of very serious stress. Now, who can we appeal to? We can appeal to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Father, the blessed Holy Spirit, because this is exactly what he wants. This is what God wants. He wants us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks here now about living a life that tests and approves of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, what a comfort once you get started in this. What a comfort it is when the day is over and you pray as you get ready to go to sleep. You pray that you would look back at the day without a lot of guilt and being ashamed, that you can look back with a sense of real confidence, that in times of stress or temptation, that you made the right choice. And that's what we want. Well, before we have a word of prayer, maybe I realize now I've gone the whole hour without giving you time for questions. Maybe you have a question. I'm going to have to learn, or else you're going to have to wave your hand and stop me here in the middle of my dialogue. So, anybody want to work on something? Yes, sir.
Last week, there was a question about knowing when God spoke to us. When do you know that God is speaking to you?
Well, it's a very difficult one to answer because all of us are different. And the Lord speaks usually, as far as I'm concerned, in my thinking processes. It doesn't come with a great rush, but I just become aware of something that I should be doing or some way I can help some person. Or else he speaks comfort to me about a problem that I'm going through. And the only thing I can say, Arthur, is that after a little while, praying about it and asking the Lord to help us, that it becomes quite clear that we can recognize his voice. And when I first learned about that and wondered if God would ever speak to me, it was confusing for some time. But then, slowly, I started to recognize his voice. And it made it a lot easier. Does he talk to me all the time? Oh, not at all. Not at all. But maybe a couple times during the day when I just need some help or whatever. And yes.
Tonight, you, in your teaching to us, was God speaking to us?
Yes.
Could we recognize his voice tonight?
Yeah.
In what way?
In the fact that it resounds with Scripture, that we realize that this verse applies to me, and I sincerely hope that you accept the verses I have on the screen as something that you need to pay attention to. Yeah.
Can we believe that God's been speaking to us through you?
Yeah. And it's the blessed Holy Spirit that's been doing this. Mm. I think I can very honestly say that these words that I've been using, they're not my words. They're words out of Scripture. They're words that have to do with the principles of truth in the Bible. Mm. And I guess that's what I would say. You know? Yes, Wayne.
And what about events?
Pardon me?
You see God things in your life once in a while. Does he speak to you as he goes? Things that happen, circumstances maybe you're concerned about, but all of a sudden it seems like you get an answer. Maybe through other people, through circumstances, through all kinds of things. Is that part of the communication?
Yeah. Well, Wayne, what I have done that has been a great help to me is to use the principle in James 4:7. Where it talks about yield yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So when I have a problem come into my life, or a critical person wants to give me a piece of their mind, then what I usually do is to say, now, Heavenly Father, if this event is of you, then I accept it, and I ask that you teach me. But if this is not of you, if this is just something that is designed to hurt me, or if this is something the enemy has in my working on me, then I reject it, and I ask that you would protect me. So I go that road of saying, if it's one thing, then I'll submit and thank you for it. Otherwise, I will reject it. Now, that would get into a lesson that I have in the future. But what I want to emphasize is how important it is that we not accept negative, sinful thoughts. We ought not to accept those. They're usually not from God. And around the house, between husband and wife, or parents and children, sometimes there's a lot of negative statements made that we don't have to accept. We need to teach our children not to accept that. A lot of times we have feelings of doubt, unbelief, fear, jealousy, greed, and we ought to take charge of that. One of these Monday nights, I want to work on that very clearly, because it revolutionized my own life when I realized that I did not have to submit to all of the negative things that were going through my mind. I didn't have to allow that to control me. I didn't have to do that. And so it was a big relief to me. And I'm sure that you've gone through the same thing too. So we'll take some of that up. Pardon me. Yes, ma'am.
It's a little bit about what you're saying, but I think, like last night, God speaks to me. I had said something to my daughter, and I've forgotten that. To me, God spoke to me that was wrong to have said that. And I always think my conscience is God speaking to me. I remember years ago Billy Graham saying, "Our consciousness is the greatest proof we have."
Okay.
And so that is him speaking very loudly. That was not a nice thing to say to me. or it may, I may have spent some money on something I shouldn't have,
We've all had that, where we realize either reading the Bible or like a sermon that we hear, where we just realize, I can't go on with this. I've got to make a decision here. I'm going to have to pay that bill back, whatever. And so I'm going to have to go and apologize for that. Yeah. When I was first a young Christian, I had quite a few things that I had to apologize. And it was a great relief to get that off my chest, to know that I had done the will of God. And I felt good about that. I didn't have to submit to that any longer. Right. Arthur?
Silly little example. Last night, I was in Sandy Pines at the chapel. I don't know if everybody knows about that, but there's a campground out there. And on Sunday, they had some chapel services. In this particular service, they had a group of 16 young people from Lee University who came to sing. And there was an offering. And the idea was, and I nudged my neighbor, who is a Sandy Pines resident, said, how do these people get paid? Does everything I put in go to them? And he said, no, this goes into a general fund. And they get a certain amount, and if there's anything left over, it goes into the chapel fund. Well, I changed my mind. Because I had $5 in my hand, because I didn't have a dollar, you see. I only had $5. So I was arguing with myself. Arthur, are you going to get $5? If it went to Lee Singer, they'd get the $5. If it didn't, then they wouldn't. So when the collection pipe went by, okay, what did I do? And why did I do it? Anybody?
You gave the $5.
I gave the $5. Why?
Because the Lord told you to.
You took $4 back.
May change. That's a silly little example, but that's the kind of mind stuff that happens to me. Should I give him a dollar? I didn't have a dollar. I had $5, so I took the $5 out. And then I asked the question in order to get clarification. But you're right, then the $5 went in, and so I kind of caved in.
I've done the same thing, though.
But is that the Lord? Is that the Lord speaking to you?
I think so, Arthur.
Silly little thing like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right on target there. Very good. Well, our time is gone. Yes, Mike, is Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Okay.
I just never heard this. This is from last week. Just kept bothering me. But a public,
Mike. You need to speak up.
The question is, you said that Jesus made a public spectacle of the devil. And that just has been, I don't remember that, maybe verses or any, I guess if you could elaborate on that, even more verses and why, but that just stood out. Mm-hmm.
Now that was a cool guy, Colossians chapter 2. I think it's verse 16 or 17, where it talks about the fact that he defeated Satan and made a public spectacle of them. And that is in the crucifixion and the resurrection. And, right. Very good, Mike. Well, what do you say we bow together and pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this evening to get together to think about you, to honor you. Now, Lord, we need your help here. There's no way that we can internalize what we've heard tonight without some radical decision.
Thanks for being with us for this lesson in our series, Towards Understanding Ourselves. We hope you'll listen to all of the sessions in this series. They're available on our website at drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.